Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to that story that was just relayed to us as found in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And today I wish to draw your attention to remembering the reason that we celebrate as we think about this Christmas season, and we will find that answer in the passage before us in Matthew chapter 2. The Bible says, beginning in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. This morning, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful accounts we find in the Word of God regarding the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that from eternity past, he chose, Lord, in his divine sovereignty as God the Son to take upon him the form of a servant. And Lord, being robed in flesh, he came and chose to be born in that manger. And Father, we're thankful for the other people that joined in celebrating that very special occasion. And Father, those that continued to search for that even months after he was physically born. And God, it is our prayer this morning that for those who are still searching, that they would understand that he can be found. He can be found in everyone's heart who truly repents of their sins and puts their faith and trust in Jesus as the Messiah. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Today in this account surrounding the birth and the ensuing months following the birth of our Savior, we have a story of contrasts. We have two groups of people who wanted to know more about the Savior. And so what I'd like for us to do is to take the next few moments and examine some of the steps that they took, how Herod and how the wise men each went on their journey and the ultimate destination to which each of them arrived. First of all, when we understand who we're talking about with Herod, we realize that he was an unusual man. He reigned from 37 BC to 4 BC. And while he accomplished some things of greatness, such as rebuilding the temple, such as developing the port city of Caesarea, such as also making more habitable certain places and landmarks and beautifying the land around him, there was an underlying drive for power. He was greedy of that power. And at the same time, he understood enough of history to recognize that if there was someone to be born king of the Jews, that person could usurp from him the power that he was enjoying. We realize, as his background indicates, that this power that he sought for was something that was not natural for him. It was not the matter of his rightly deserving the authority that he enjoyed. For as his name indicates, it was a Greek name that was given to him. We also know that he had an Arab mother and an Edomite father. And so for him to hear of one that is born king of the Jews, this gave him reason to have fear. And this is why he was bent on knowing about the one who not just was king of the Jews, but was born king of the Jews. A right that he could never claim. Something that would never be true of his personal lineage. You see, he did not want to worship him, but as we will see in a few moments, he really wanted to destroy him. He wanted to stamp out all opposition. In fact, history tells us that Herod was so ruthless that he went so far as to kill two of his own sons in order that they might not take the throne from him. It is even said that just days before he knew he was going to die, that he killed four other men who were the heir apparent to his throne, seeking to make certain his legacy. And while he did his best to make that happen, we can understand the fact that what took place was not according to his wishes. For when we think of the facts that history records regarding this man Herod, we realize that he's not known for the wonderful things that he did and sought to accomplish. Rather, we think of the one that he sought to destroy, the very one who came to give his life for him. Now, as the scriptures indicate, the Bible says there in verse 3, as he heard these things, he was troubled, and rightfully so. You see, he then got together all of the religious leaders, the chief priests, the scribes, and he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, lest we overlook some of the details in this story, we recognize that the words that were spoken by those wise men were, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Now, if we look very carefully, the descriptive name that is given to the king of the Jews in verse 4, we find it changes. It says, he demanded of them where who should be born? What does it say there in your Bibles in verse 4? He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And this is very important because when he was speaking of him as Christ, that is, he recognized that this was the Messiah, which is what the name Christ meant. And so he's beginning to realize here what is taking place right before his eyes, and he wants to put a stop to it. He doesn't want it to continue. When we think about the response that he received, we also see the impact, how he had connected, yes, the born king of the Jews with the Christ, the Messiah, but we see the impact that the scriptures had upon him, where the Bible says in verse 5, they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, the interesting thing here is that they recognized again the importance of the words of the prophets. It was not something that they disregarded. They revered that. They took it as truly messages that had come from God, which is why they used the descriptive term of referring to their writings as by the prophet. But what was the impact that the word of God had upon Herod? Well, we do not see that as a result of that, that he desired to join in with the wise men. Now, we contrast that. And we have the wise men. They have seen something in the sky, and there have been a variety of suppositions as to exactly what it was. But suffice it to say, it was some way in which God divinely sought to communicate to man in a language that he would understand. These men, the wise men, were known for studying the sky, for studying the stars. And so God saw fit to reveal himself to these Gentile men, these leaders, perhaps from Persia, although it can't be said with certainty, but we know they came from the east. And they were mindful of the scriptures. And that's why when we recognize again that as he sends them to Bethlehem, he tells them, okay, I want to hear some more details. Fill me in a little bit more on what's taking place. But as they have heard of the scriptures, as they have learned of this, has a totally different impact. Because their concern is not about seeking to look out for what is good for them. They were not desirous of trying to preserve their own fame, but rather they wanted to go and worship the one who was born King of the Jews. A marked contrast from that which Herod was following after. But then we see that God, in his sovereignty, having been sent these men to Bethlehem, God in his sovereignty caused for them again in their night journey to be led exactly where Mary and Joseph, now according to what we find later on, living in a house, as the Bible says in verse 11, now they have found what they were seeking after. And you know what happens so many times today is we have people in our society that know of the Bible. They know of the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. But the problem is that there are far too many people today who know just enough, but it's all stopped at their heads, and it has never made it to their hearts. And so, as we heard even this morning in our Bible study fellowship class, one of the ladies was sharing this week, hearing the Messiah and sitting in a concert hall and having a couple people in front of them, said, we get this whole Mary and Joseph and the baby being born, but what about all the rest of this? And you see, that's where far too many people are today. They know some of the facts. They've heard it. They may have read it. They may have recited it. They may have sung it. But they don't understand the impact, the true meaning of what it was when Jesus Christ came to this earth some 2,000 years ago. And so this morning, as we react to the message that is before us, we see that they came because they wanted to truly worship. Here are these men of influence. They've come with gifts, and a lot of times we assume that because there was three gifts that there were three men, although the scriptures do not tell us that. But as they have heard now and been mindful of the fact as to what the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth was, the Bible says in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know, it is such a blessing to share the gospel, the true meaning of Christmas. Yes, remembering the reason that we celebrate and sharing that with people who have not yet recognized what Jesus Christ is all about, and as they've made that their own, the joy that accompanies the journey when they're truly seeking to find the Messiah. Why, it was just a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking with someone, and they were sharing with me how they just recently came to understand what it means to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And they said, you know, I'd heard about it before. They said, you know, I had even read about it and had understood the facts, but the facts had never become my faith. And now, they said, things have changed, and I realized that Jesus Christ came to be my personal Lord and Savior. Just a few weeks ago, I was talking with someone else and had the joy of sharing with them what it is to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the immediate joy that they received in knowing that heaven is going to be their eternal home. But you see, Herod did not truly desire to worship the babe in the manger. Because God, in His sovereignty, having allowed the wise men to finally arrive at the proper destination and coming to the house there and seeing the young child, were warned of God not to go back to Herod. But in verse 13, our story continues. And the Bible says, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Two groups of people. They have heard the same information. They have been aware of the same facts. And yet the wise men came, they found the Messiah, they immediately fell down and worshiped him and presented to him gifts. Herod, who was looking for his own best interest, was concerned now that this young one might come and might try and replace him on his throne as he would grow up, as we were reminded this morning in our dramatic presentation of that truth. Herod thought he could put an end to it. And so Herod took things into his own hands and decided, according to the time that the wise men had appeared and they had related to him their journey, knowing that time that had passed since the meeting with them, he decided to take all the children, 2 years of age and below, in the entire land and have them all killed. Because he didn't want someone to try and grow up and become king. But you know what happens today? The ways in which we react to the gospel. You know, when we think about the fact that, yes, Jesus Christ did come to this earth, I remind you that when we say that, we're not talking about a myth. Although I'm not so foolish as to say that there are not those who attempt to deny the fact that Jesus Christ has come. There are those that would try and block it out, which is why I just read this week from the Daily Signal of a school district casting out Bible verses from a Charlie Brown Christmas in Johnson County, Kentucky. performing a version purged of Bible verses after the school district barred religious references and holiday programs. Another school reportedly replaced the hymn Silent Night with a Christmas rendition of a rap song, which is full of nonsensical rhymes. You see, when we think about the world in which we live today, I'm equally mindful of the fact of two Christian schools that were denied prayer over a PA system at a state football championship in Florida between Cambridge Christian School and University Christian School. Having prayed consecutively before 13 games during this school year season, and yet because they were using a public venue for their tournament game, they were denied the right between two Christian schools to simply pray. But then I must say I found it somewhat disheartening when this week in Augusta County, Virginia, the mother said, Kimberly Herndon said she felt her rights as a parent had been violated when her ninth grade son came home with a homework assignment last week. He attends Riverheads High School. The assignment asked him to copy the Shahada, the Islamic statement of faith, which translates to, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." Augusta County, Virginia. And the sad part is, as you follow up after a meeting that took place, how many parents came to the aid of the teacher who gave the assignment? And yet in that same classroom, they wouldn't think of quoting scripture from the Word of God. You see, today in our society, there are those that are trying to deny God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 14 and in verse 1, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Jesus Christ himself gave us a warning regarding those who would try to deny him when he said, "Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Some, as Herod, try to deny him. There are those that would try to ridicule him. Peter tells us, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts. But as we've already mentioned, if you truly embark on a spiritual journey as the wise men did, you may begin to rejoice. You see, if you're looking for the Savior, you have to look no further than in the Word of God, because here you will find him waiting to enter your heart. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29 and in verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Without in any way wishing to trivialize it, I am equally mindful of the time at Christmas season when the children are convinced there's a certain gift that they have been given and they don't know where it is, and how diligently they look around the tree, and perhaps if it's something that is of a certain size, they're looking in boxes that would be in a corresponding size. And then as they see the tag on it and they realize it's got their brother or their sister's name, how disappointed they are. And then they continue their search and go and look around behind the Christmas tree and crawl underneath it if necessary. They've got to find it. It's got to be here. And the joy and elation that is found when, yes, they finally discover the one that they were hoping for. But I remind you this morning that there is a far greater gift that can be found, and that is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the wise men came and brought gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We think of the myrrh, and we think of the bitterness of that and the sorrow of death and the frankincense and the sweet aroma that would accompany the sacrifices that would be made and the gold and the royalty that would be there. But all that is of no value when it's placed beside the greatest gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so as we think about the wise men and we think about Herod, the greatest response in light of the message is to receive him and to worship him. You see, the Bible reminds us when we think of this gift that is given, it doesn't have just my name on it, although I thank God I've received that gift. In fact, it doesn't just have a few of our names on it. No, the Bible says in Titus 2 and in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." But the decision to open the gift, the decision to receive the gift, the decision to make the gift yours can only be made by you. Your spouse can't make it for you. Your children can't make it for you. Your parents can't make it for you. Your friends can't make it for you. You are the one who has to decide whether or not you will recognize Jesus Christ as more than a babe in the manger, but truly as Christ, the Messiah. You know, when we think about our spiritual journey, I realize that God has certainly not given you a star to follow as he did for the wise men. But perhaps he's been speaking to you in other ways. Maybe you're now beginning to put the pieces together regarding our Savior's birth. And to you, I would say there's no better time to receive him than now. Solomon, the wisest man to walk the face of the earth, said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth," in Proverbs 27 and in verse 1. The Bible reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he saith, "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You see, the wise men came, filled with exceeding joy, fell down, presented their gifts, and worshiped him, and enjoyed that sweet fellowship and communion. Herod thought he would destroy him and did his best to make it happen. But no matter how many times, over how many millennia, the devil has thought and tried to usurp the plan of God, he has never and will never find success. Because our God is all-powerful. And I am so grateful today, as we think about this season, what is it that we are to remember? Remember that it's not about the gifts that we give to a few people, but the gift that is offered to all. Remember, you don't just know the Christ child, you must receive him. Remember that his word foretold his coming and all was fulfilled. And remember that in order to worship him, you must recognize him as the true Lord and Savior. You see, if you remember these, then you, just as the wise men, will be able to rejoice at the light of the world who came to be your Savior and mine. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.